It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Any reaction to the news that certain members of the House Freedom Caucus have talked about drafting up articles of impeachment?
I can tell you, there have been people who have been making threats privately and publicly against me for quite some time. And I think they should understand by now the Department of Justice is not going to be extorted.
All right, that was the Assistant Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein in a forum. I actually remember playing that for you when he said it a few months ago. Man, there's so much news, it's hard to remember when what happened. But the peak of that, you know, the House of Representatives is, they are oversight for justice. Justice doesn't run anything. I mean, they are, they actually answer to the American people. But that Rosenstein, you know, he will not be extorted. Well, and then in an exchange with Jim Jordan, a brief exchange in one of the hearings where Congressman Jordan, they're trying to get information from Rosenstein, as they have been for months. This is a very short exchange, but just listen.
Mr. Rosenstein, why are you keeping information from Congress?
Congressman, I am not keeping any information from Congress that it's appropriate.
In a few minutes, Mr. Rosenstein, think the House of Representatives is going to say something different.
I don't agree with you, Congressman. I don't believe that's what they're going to say. And if they do, they'll be mistaken.
I disagree, but I think,
Well, you get the idea that there's no love lost between them. And last night, there was a meeting between Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows, and I don't know who else was there. But the leaders at Justice probably, I don't know if Rosenstein was there or not, but let me just say there was a firefight. They really just lost their patience completely. Because the Justice Department, led by Rod Rosenstein right now, because Jeff Sessions has recused himself, has been slow-walking, refusing. You heard it. You heard Rosenstein refusing to turn over information that he didn't think that they had a right to have. And this is the House committee that's charged with overseeing. And so Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows and others, in fact, let's just say 11 House members right now at this point, and this has just happened last night, are introducing articles of impeachment against Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Jim Jordan was on, along with Mark Meadows, last night on Laura Ingraham's show. And I'll just let Congressman Jordan lay it out just for a second here. Let's listen.
We've sent a letter to the president, Mark, myself, and Congressman DeSantis saying, declassify the information, get us all the information.
What that is he? Have you ever spoken to him about this? Why won't he declassify these?
We sent the letter several weeks ago. But the bottom line is, we have sent numerous letters to Rod Rosenstein they haven't complied with. Two subpoenas they haven't complied with. We've caught the Department of Justice hiding information, redacting information that they should not have redacted. We know that Rod Rosenstein threatened House Committee Intel staffers, threatened them, chilling impact when they were trying to do their job, our job of doing the constitutional oversight we're supposed to do. And we all know what the Justice Department did with the dossier. Never forget, Rod Rosenstein signed the third renewal, signed that, which was based on the dossier, which we know came, parts of it came from Bruce Orr, high-ranking official, through his wife, Nellie, the whole ordeal. So we're tired of the Justice Department giving us the finger and not giving us the information we're entitled to do our constitutional duty. More importantly, the American people are sick of it.
Now, interesting thing is they do not need Paul Ryan to bring this forth on the House floor. They're going to file it by what's called a privileged resolution, which means they could bring it up at any time. And so today might be their last day in session. It's either today or tomorrow. And if this doesn't mean they're, I don't know if they're going to file, if they're going to bring it up today or tomorrow, or if they're going to wait till they come back in session. I just don't know. The point is it could happen at any time. It takes 218 votes in the House to impeach. But then would have to go to the Senate and get 2/3 majority to remove him from office. But the black mark of being impeached, like President Clinton was impeached in the House, but the vote, the Senate didn't vote to remove him from office. Well, it's surprising, isn't it, that the Senate might be less steadfast than the House? Well, both chambers are in trouble in terms of their leadership, as you know. But we don't know how Paul Ryan, as of last night, had not said anything, so I don't know how he feels about it. And I certainly know that because Congressman Jordan is actively, at least in the House, running for Speaker of the House, let me just say that Kevin McCarthy and Steve Scalise and Paul Ryan are not going to do very much to increase their ability to do something meaningful. But I'm just telling you, they're not going to really give him a lot of help. That doesn't mean they're not going to have it. But this is pretty amazing. And just by doing it, and of course, there's like a 10-12 page impeachment document. In fact, we'll put that on our Facebook page so that you can read it. Oh, you know what? Yes, I will. This is what we'll do. There's a Breitbart article called Mark Meadows, Jim Jordan Introduced Articles of Impeachment Against Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. We'll put that link to that, and that article links to that, the impeachment article. So I think you'll want to read it, and of course, it's not the last time we'll be talking about it. So Rod Rosenstein may indeed get his hand slapped, which is he should get much worse. It's just amazing the obstruction that has taken place under his leadership. I'll talk more about that as the days go on, but at least I wanted you to know that that, to me, is the most important news this morning. I want to thank Walker Wildman for filling in yesterday. You probably wonder, where is she going? What is she doing? You know, Wednesdays are meeting days for me, but yesterday was the second time that I, along with a few other conservative leaders, met with Google executives. We met with them first a month or so ago. We met with the two brilliant minds that handle that are over charged with Google's search engine. That was fascinating. I have to tell you, that was just fascinating, the way, at least for finite minds to understand an engineering genius, to try to explain to us. He did a wonderful job, really. He said every time you do a search, think of it this way, our engines go the equivalent of to the moon and back 12 times before you get your response. And they do that, and I believe they said they have 100, they're in 190 countries now. And so they have to think of language, translation, they have to make all of those. It's just an amazing enterprise, really. Google is an American company, and in spite of the things that have been concerning about us, they certainly deserve kudos for the incredible things that they have developed. They've been sued by the EU, they were sued by the European Union last year, it seems, for $2 billion. And now the EU has slapped them with another fine of $5 billion. So it has to do with the software of their Android software. And also, it's, you know what, I'm not going to go into all this, just to say that they are concerned about it. But here's the good news. If you wonder why I'm talking to them, it's because for one thing, this is one thing, the SPLC has been the arbiter of what they consider hate. And we have persuaded them to stop using the SPLC as their barometer, their measure of what makes hate. And I'd go further to say that I tried to talk to them. And why in the world do you have to think of the world in terms of hate? Conservatives don't do that. We don't make lists of people that are haters. That is a construct of the left. It's a tool that they use to marginalize and hurt people. And if you could just, why are you in that business? Why would you even think of things that way? They didn't agree to stop doing that, but they have at least agreed to no longer use the SPLC. So that's one major, that's a good victory for us. There's a lot more to talk about with them, and we will do that. But we've had some great dialogues with them. Yesterday, we talked to well, let's just say he's not the CEO, but he's right under. And so these are important conversations, and that's where I was yesterday. You know, along with that, we're finding out that Twitter, you know, we've got some problems with social media. You know that, right? Twitter is shadow banning prominent Republicans like RNC chair Ronna McDaniel, also several conservative Republican congressmen, Donald Trump Jr.'s spokesperson. Those are just names and lists. And shadow banning, if you don't know Twitter, I'm not going to explain it. Let me just say they're limiting their reach, okay? You understand that. And so contrary to that, Democrats are not being shadow banned. So in other words, Tom Perez, who is the Democratic Party chair, is the counter person in the Democratic Party to Ronna McDaniel, the Republican chair. He's not being shadow banned. Neither are members of Congress. None of the progressive caucus are being limited. Maxine Waters, Joe Kennedy, Keith Ellison, none of them. And so you can see the problem. And so that's another frontier that we have to fight. So Facebook executives then were on the hot seat for the Television Critics Association press tour in Beverly Hills yesterday. And the exchange came up. Why do you have InfoWars? I think there's a lot more to this, but I'll just say InfoWars and Fox News. How could you do that? But the answer is what fascinated me. It says, what we're trying to do is make it so that if you are saying something that's untrue on Facebook, you're allowed to say it as long as you're an authentic person and you adhere to our community standards. But we're trying to see that it doesn't get much distribution. Reporter, how do you limit distribution? When we have something that we think that a fact checker has told us is probably not true, or a lot of our audience is telling us it's not true, we just limit distribution. We tell our algorithms that this is probably not something we want to see distributed widely. So that's one way. Another way a lot of how misinformation spreads is by people sharing the content. We actually pop up a module that says, hey, you're about to share something your fact checker thinks is inaccurate. You might not want to do that. This decreases distribution very dramatically, north of 80%, and it's very effective. So what I was telling you, I alluded to a couple of days ago, where conservatives, we are the ones that are being limited and our distribution cut down by as much as 80%, and they're talking about it publicly now. Ironically, Facebook's stocks fell down 24% yesterday, and some accounts are saying they are bleeding users left and right. Now, anyway, so that's the mini report on that. I just think that's pretty fascinating. And I just wanted you to know that the American Family Association is trying to do what we can to affect change, you know, not on all of everything I just said, but certainly with Google right now. All right, there are so many other things happening, so I have to move on. Yesterday, there was an incredible testimony by Mike Pompeo in front of the Senate, I think it's the Intelligence Committee, led by Bob Corker. Let's see, we're running out of time here. Let's start it right now. Clip 6.
I personally made clear to the Russians there will be severe consequences for interference in our democratic processes.
Pompeo told members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee he's been firm with Moscow, saying sanctions won't be eased.
There will be no relief of Crimea-related sanctions until Russia returns control of the Crimean Peninsula to Ukraine.
The foreign relations chairman put Pompeo in an awkward spot by criticizing President Trump's behavior.
What is it that causes the president to purposely create distrust in these institutions?
You somehow disconnect the administration's activities from the president's actions. They're the one and the same.
I notice that you are not responding to what I'm saying.
There were some testy moments with the panel's top Democrat, New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez, on the Trump-Putin summit.
Senator, I'm telling you what he had a conversation with Vladimir Putin about, and I'm telling you what U.S. policy is today. I understand, Senator, I understand the game that you're playing.
No,
I get
no,
it.
You know, Mr. Secretary, with all due respect, I don't appreciate you characterizing my questions. My questions is to get to the truth. We don't know what the truth is.
Menendez and Pompeo also sparred over North Korea.
Did they agree to end the production and enrichment of uranium and plutonium for military programs?
Senator, I would welcome the chance to respond to your question. If you'd let me finish, it'd be most illuminating for the folks watching.
It's a simple yes or no.
Following the high-profile Singapore summit with Kim Jong-un, Pompeo said the U.S. is pressing for results.
We're engaged in patient diplomacy, but we will not let this drag out to no end. I emphasize this position in the productive discussions I had with Vice Chairman Kim Jong-chol.
Pompeo,
all right,
also,
I'm interrupting, but the point is, Mike Pompeo got into a fight with Bob Corker and Senator Menendez, and he really put them in their place. He defended the president. It was an amazing exchange. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. So Corker's complaining about the EU and NATO. I don't want to talk about that when we return.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. Just hit **345. That's **345. **345.
A massive, massive ship. This is Ken Ham, a missionary to our evolutionized culture and even the church. Noah's Ark was a massive ship, 510 feet long, 51 feet high, and 85 feet wide. It easily fit all the animals God sent to Noah, plus supplies and Noah's family. Now, some people argue that the flood was just a local event. But why would God command Noah to build such a massive ship if he and his family could have just packed up and moved to an area outside of God's judgment? Genesis tells us every land-dwelling creature and every person outside the ark perished. But if the flood was local, some animals and people would have survived. When we ignore what the Bible clearly teaches, we make God out to be a liar.
Listen to this program again, view a transcript, or share it with others when you visit AnswersRadio.com and plan your visit to our ARC encounter at AnswersRadio.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Caitlin Bird. I'm a nursing major and I'm a junior. The School of Nursing here at TMU, it's different than any other university or college out there. Every time we come into class, no matter which nursing professor it is, we always begin in devotion and prayer, and we become a family. They actually allow the students to get up and do devotion and prayer. We pray with each other and for each other, and that's just what sets us apart from any other school of nursing out there.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Gay rights organizations across England are already staging protests in advance of a September religious gathering hosted by Franklin Graham. Reverend Graham is holding one of his Festivals of Hope, basically an amped-up church service with Christian rock music, special celebrity guest, and an evangelistic sermon. But LGBT groups say Reverend Graham's message is about homophobia and hate. They successfully bullied a local transportation company into removing banners advertising the festival. And two members of Parliament petitioned the government to ban the famed preacher from setting foot on British soil. It's unfortunate, but not all that much of a surprise. Christianity is under fierce attack across the British Isles. They've slandered those who bring the good news and those who share the good news. But understand this, Franklin Graham's message is about hope, not hate. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
You know, in that exchange with Pompeo yesterday, let me just read to you what Senator Corker, one of my favorite senators, probably, right down there with John McCain in terms of what, remember that he single-handedly, Corker Menendez, pushed through the Iranian deal, assuring us it was so wonderful. Oh, my goodness, it's such a wonderful deal. That alone, the people of Tennessee must have shuddered and been embarrassed, and they should have been. He's the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And so I wish you could hear the entire exchange, but I want to read a little bit. Corker pressed Pompeo to explain what he characterizes as Trump's purposeful efforts to sow misinformation and discord. That shocks people, Corker said, to purposely cause the American people to misunderstand about the NATO contributions and to cause them to doubt NATO and to really drive the public opinion against NATO. That, to me, was purposeful. Not unlike what happened right after Charlottesville. So what the president did, according to Bob Corker, in regard to confronting NATO for not paying their dues was just like the president's role in Charlottesville, which, if you know much about the real facts of that, you know that the organizer of the so-called right-wing march was a member of Occupy Wall Street. and the other group was Antifa. Now, there may have been sprinkled in there some racists, it's possible, but they were not. It was not led by people like that. This was a case of the police not holding boundaries and honoring permits and allowing this violent clash. But, you know, McCorker, of course, likes the narrative, so he uses that. So he brings up, you know, the thing that the president did said about NATO was just like Charlottesville. It's just bizarre. And McCorker then says, why does he do those things? Is there some strategy behind creating doubt in U.S. senators' minds on both sides? Doubt in the American people as to what his motivations are? It's the president's actions that create tremendous distrust in our nation, among our allies. It's palpable. Is there a strategy to this? Yeah, okay, so Pompeo says, Senator, I just disagree with most of what you said there. Somehow there is this idea that this administration is free-floating. This is President Trump's administration, make no mistake, who's fully in charge and directing each of these activities that is causing Vladimir Putin to be in a very difficult place today. And then in regard to NATO, he talked about, Pompeo said they are now scrambling to make sure they are full part of NATO. And that's because of what the president did. It's really ridiculous, but they were trying to exact their pound of flesh. They didn't do very well with Mike Pompeo yesterday. And then on the heels of that, and I'm just going to read the story rather than play the clip, President Trump announced Wednesday that he has secured major trade concessions with the European Union as part of an effort to head off a trade war. There was a Rose Garden appearance. You might have seen part of it. They agreed to increase imports of soybeans, that means the EU, and liquefied natural gas. Both sides agreed to work toward the goal of zero tariffs and subsidies on non-auto industrial goods and to resolve recent tariffs. So they caved already. That's the EU. And that was part of the challenge that he gave them at the that was all in the same kind of timeline as the NATO summit. So the president's, whatever Corker characterized them as, that he was just, you know, just didn't know what he was doing. It was scattershot. Is really just one after another notch in America's belt. And again, this is about America. We are grateful, President Trump, God bless him and his family and protect them. But he's doing things one right after another faster than they can keep up with, that are doing things to help America and its economy and the people, and to restore moral order. And I recognize, I'm not going to talk about the tapes about Playboy Bunny. The reason I'm not talking about that is because I don't think there's any substance there. If I thought there were, I'd take time to talk about it. But there are other things I want to talk about this morning. You can read about that yourself from other places. We've had some interesting, really interesting, I've had lots of interesting email and Facebook comments. It's been fun. Facebook is really lighting up these days. So somebody's getting the posts. And let me remind you again, if you want to see what we post every day, you should go to the Facebook page every day, Sandy Rios in the Morning, because it's not going to show up in your feed, probably. Just saying. So, you know, because Facebook has its way of stopping 80% of the things they think are not true. And, of course, people in Silicon Valley who know what's true are the ones that are stopping the information flow. So we'll see how that works out, since Facebook's stock has plummeted 24%. People are leaving in droves. It's pretty amazing. Hopefully they'll correct course. So anyway, this just a couple of fun things. This is from a listener, Glenna. She says, I started walking last March and I listen to you daily since then. Good morning, Glenna. So she must not be on her watch, on her walk. She says some very nice things, and I thank you for that, Glenna. Then she says, thank you for being my walking partner every day, and may God bless and send his angels to protect you. So sweet. Thank you. This is from Billy. I have been a born-again Christian for 5 years now. I am 65 years old. Started listening to you on AFR about 3 years ago, and then he says very nice things also. He says, your news program is my favorite part of the day as I get to listen to AFR at my work. God bless you and your hard work. Gosh, that's great to hear, Billy. And you know what? You just emphasize what I believe with all my heart, that this whole notion that people don't come to Christ after their kids, that's just silly. I know better than that. I've seen it with my own eyes, and that's so limiting on the power of God. So so thank you, Billy, for affirming that. So interesting things happening on Facebook here. Oh, by the way, this morning we are going to open the phone lines So I will give the number, but I'm going to do a few more Facebook comments, and then we'll open. We'll go right to the lines. The phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. All right, you may remember that last week I talked to you, at least in part, when they talked about the Russians, you know, messing with the 2016 presidential election. I shared with you a video and talked to you about how the Russians indeed have interfered with presidential elections since way, way back, and including Ted Kennedy's race, where Ted, now we know, released, we know because information was released in the, I think, the late 90s, to indicate that it was an actual letter from Ted Kennedy to the Russians asking for their help in his bid to unseat Reagan. And it's quite a letter. And so I told you that story, and on our Facebook page, lots of comments, but Josh says, you're asking people to trust a source as biased as the Federalist, a story with a conveniently broken link to the original memo. I Googled to see if any legitimate news organization had ever published anything about this major scandal. Nope. But PolitiFact has weighed in, sharing that the claims made first surprise on Fox News are false. Josh, they're not false claims, and I'll tell you why I know that. I first heard about this when I interviewed a guy named, he's not alive anymore, his name is Herbert Romanstein. I think that was, I'm doing this in memory, but it's Herb, how could I find it? It's Herb Romanstein. It was an older gentleman who came to my attention when I was doing radio for Concerned Women for America. And I had one of the most fascinating interactions with Herb because he had been one of the American undercover agents who was investigating Russia during the Cold War. And Herb was the first one who told me about what was called the Venona Papers, and you can look that up. That's what I would suggest you do, Josh. Look up the V-E-N-O-N-A, Venona Papers. That was a project of America to try to, it's hard to explain, to try to ferret out KGB and their inner workings. And it was only made public in the late 90s, and part of it contained this letter by Ted Kennedy. So I've read that letter, and it does exist. And so PolitiFact, of course, is not a trustworthy source. You should know that, Josh. But I'm telling you, Herb Romanstein is a pretty trustworthy source. And so I don't really make things up. I don't do that. So I'm just telling you, that's the case with that. Josh has another challenge. When I speak about Hillary Clinton being responsible for selling Russia 20% of our uranium, he thinks it's nonsense, and he cites an article from Slate. And again, I'd say, Josh, this is not nonsense. And I recognize that some of the outlets that I would give you, you would not respect, but you might respect The Hill, which is, not a right-wing paper. It's, maybe you're not familiar with it, but it's, in D.C., it's a, I would say there's some journalistic integrity there, but if they have a leaning, it's not to the right, it's to the left. John Solomon wrote an article on February 7th of 2018 titled Uranium One Informant Makes Clinton Allegations to Congress. And the informant's name was Douglas Campbell. And the thing of it is, Josh, what I have to tell you, I know a lot of national security experts personally, and I know people that know Doug Campbell. He was the informant. He was a businessman working with the FBI undercover to track. He worked with him for years to track this messy business of negotiating with Russia over our uranium. And he had like a whole truckload of evidence, and he was dying of cancer, and that's why he came forward to tell this story. And that 20% of our uranium is just a part of the story, and it's all documented. So you could check The Hill. That might be a source that you would trust, that John Solomon article, Informant Douglas Campbell. Uranium One Informant Makes Clinton Allegations to Congress. So that's, again, I don't make things up, and I try to be as honest and forthright with you as I possibly can be. One last thing I will address. James McKee writes in all the time on Facebook. James used to listen to me in Chicago. James, thank you. You've been listening to me for years, and that's such an honor. And the theme of James' posts are that I don't do two sides of an issue. And when I was in Chicago, I did. Yes, I did. I have debates a lot. I had my enemies right, enemies. I mean, intellectual enemies. I don't mean personal enemies. But I had them on the air. I had them right in the studio with me, and I did a lot of debating. I did that in D.C. too. So James wishes I'd still do that. And I guess, James, here's the deal. The reason I don't do that is because I only have an hour, and because the rest of the 23, well, look, in general, not on AFR Talk, but in other outlets, the rest of the time, when you're drawing information, you're hearing the other side, what I believe is untrue. I'm trying to speak to you about what is true. I don't think that facts are negotiable. I think that you can be be confused about the facts. I think that you can be misinformed about the facts, but I don't think the actual facts are negotiable. And so I try to spend the hour that I have telling you what I believe is true and not wasting my time with debate, although I still love it and I miss it, to be honest with you, James. I really do miss it. I love to debate because I think that, again, if you hold your convictions about certain things and right and wrong on certain issues, you should be able to argue your position. And if you can't, it's really not worth holding. You've heard me say that many, many times. If people would call that oppose me on an issue, you can ask my call screener. I ask them to put them first in line. We just don't have a lot of people listening to AFR Talk who are opponents, but we have some of you because you weigh in. And I welcome that anytime, any day. So there's the scoop on that. All right, so that kind of gives you an overview of, I think, the most important news stories today. And our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Ellen in Arkansas. Good morning, Ellen.
Oh, hi, Sandy. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Hey, I wondered if you would tell me how you feel about Jeff Sessions, the job that he's doing. Do you feel like he's effective? I mean, he's a man of God, I feel, and I appreciate that he's in that position, but is he really being effective doing what he's doing, considering Rod Rosenstein and...
Yeah. I understand your concerns, and how could I not share the concerns, given everything I talk about every day and the disaster that has befallen us in the aftermath of President Trump being elected? It's just been it's been chaos, and the country's been through so much, and we're not through yet. So how do I feel about, probably you heard me say that I've known Senator Sessions and Attorney General Sessions for a long time. I actually consider him a friend. I think the world of him. I think the world of him. I have at times wondered, what's going on over there. I think it was wrong. I think it was a very bad decision. I think he got bad advice to recuse himself, but he did it. I think he did it out of a sense of integrity. Someone persuaded him that was the thing to do if he had integrity. And of course he has integrity. So I think that was a mistake. But this is the part that I think you're not hearing, and I can't say much. I mean, I don't know much. I don't want to indicate that I know something that I don't know. But people tell me that there's a lot going on that you don't know about. I don't know about a lot of things that are going on. I do know other people around Senator's General Sessions that are just wonderful patriots, tireless.
Oh, good. People who work right there with him.
Yeah, so I'm just hoping for the best. I'm just thinking, I do believe that in time, look, he's been doing a lot of other things that are great. As you probably know, he's been doing great things on border security and MS-13. He's been doing great things on transgender rights. He's been doing, I can't even rattle them off right now, but he's been doing some.
Out what's going on in colleges.
Yes, exactly.
Colleges,
shutting
down conservatives. You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs 25, verse 26. It says, I don't like to read this, but it says, like a trampled spring and a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. And I kind of feel like that's what Jeff Sessions did. He was a righteous man. I don't know.
Yeah, but he hasn't compromised, as far as I know. Okay, Ellen, but as far as I know, he has not compromised his integrity. He may have used poor judgment or listened to the wrong person in his effort to, prove his integrity. But I don't think he's violated his integrity. So, the guy, we make mistakes. Of course, maybe someday when I know more, I'll have a different opinion. But let's just see. We keep in mind that if he should step down, nobody Nobody worth their salt could ever get to the Senate in its current makeup. Nobody. Jeff Sessions is an advocate for the conservative values that we hold. I got to take a break. Thanks for calling. 888-589-8888.
Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. As minimum wage levels approach or surpass $15 nationwide, restaurant customers expecting to be greeted by a smiling face will instead be welcomed by a glowing LED screen. As of 2020, self-service ordering kiosks will be implemented at all U.S. McDonald's locations. Politicians have used the plight of the poor and low-skilled to push for legislatively mandated minimum wage increases. The economic reality is that these are the very people hurt most by these policies, because it results in their unemployment.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations."
This is Bert Harper. Join me for Exploring Missions, revealing the hearts of missionaries, their stories, and lives. Across the world or across town, Exploring Missions, Saturday evenings at 6:30 Central and Sunday afternoons at 1 on American Family Radio.
Who is God?
What's He like?
How can we know?
Your answer to these questions will impact your worship, discipleship, apologetics, and evangelism. Learn from Ravi Zacharias, Josh McDowell, Chip Ingram, and more than 60 other speakers at Southern Evangelical Seminary's 25th Annual National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 12th and 13th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Get the early bird discount when you register by August 1st at ses.edu.
Here's Steve Tiber.
8 Days of Hope started after Hurricane Katrina, helping people in Bay St. Louis, Waveland, Mississippi, rebuild their homes back in 2005. Since then, this faith-based ministry has gone nationwide, and we've helped out dozens of cities, dozens of areas of the country after hurricanes, tornadoes, flooding, or even snowstorms. And now you get a chance to be a difference maker. 8 Days of Hope 16. You can be the hands and feet of Jesus down in Houston from October 13th to October 20th. You can come for as little as 3 days or stay all 8 days. We provide the food and lodging. We're looking for skilled professional and people like me who are less skilled and just want to give back. For more information, go to our website, 8daysofhope.com. Click on the event, 8 Days of Hope 16. Read the FAQs and learn more about how you can make a difference with 8 Days of Hope.
Learn more and sign up to be a part of 8 Days of Hope 16 in Houston, Texas at 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Score one more for the Trump Doctrine. Yesterday, President Trump declared a big free and fair trade win for his America First agenda at the expense of the European Union. But this deal is actually a twofer. After all, it stands also to set back Communist China's efforts to supplant the United States as the Europeans' most important trading partner. Countering the Chinese has increasingly become the unifying theme of the president's foreign policy. The imperative behind this Trump doctrine was underscored by witnesses who testified last week before the House Intelligence Committee concerning the extensive economic and national security damage done by the PRC's decades-long unrestricted warfare against the United States. If Donald Trump has just successfully played the Europe card against China, it may well prove devastating to the hostile imperial ambitions of a nation that increasingly cannot afford them. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
This morning, Pastor Andrew Brunson, who was imprisoned in Turkey for nearly 2 years, has been let out of jail at Buka. He's still under house arrest, So our work is not done.
A step in the right direction, but not far enough, say U.S. officials. Over on Capitol Hill, Senator Tom Tillis, who met with Brunson last week, sees today's developments also as a good first step, but is keeping up the pressure to bring Brunson home.
When I met with him in prison several months ago, he was definitely, he had lost 50 pounds, and he is very much under a lot of stress, but I think that he's dealing, coping with very, very difficult circumstances.
Brunson, a 50-year-old evangelical pastor from North Carolina who's lived in Turkey for more than two decades, was arrested in the fall of 2016 and charged with espionage and conspiracy to overthrow the Turkish government. Brunson's arrest has caused tension between the United States and Turkey. After his third court appearance last week and remanded back to prison, President Trump tweeted, "A total disgrace that Turkey will not release respected U.S. pastor Andrew Brunson from prison. He has done nothing wrong and his family needs him." Brunson's transfer to house arrest came midway through the first ever ministerial to advance religious freedom at the U.S. State Department, a gathering of 80 senior officials from around the globe. Yesterday, Brunson's daughter appealed to the delegates on her father's behalf.
"I'm still waiting to wear the wedding dress that I got 2 years ago. I'm still waiting for my dad to walk me down the aisle, and I'm still waiting for that father-daughter dance."
Now, Brunson's move to a less restrictive place has relieved some of the tension between the U.S. and Turkey. But lawmakers say only Brunson's full release would begin to restore the relationship between the two nations.
So there's another accomplishment that, look, he's not out yet, but he's out of prison. That's Pastor Brunson. And so remember during the Obama presidency, how many Americans just languished and suffered? And maybe there were some that were released. Oh, I guess the guy that escaped from a camp and colluded with the enemy, he finally was released. But other than that, I can't think of any. So we have Otto Warmbier, this student who just languished and ended up coming back and dying. And since President Trump has been president, he just seems to be his people on a mission to get Americans, to make sure that the world treats Americans properly. That used to be the norm, not the exception. And so we've had now these pastors, people released out of North Korea. I believe several of them were Christians, actually, Christian pastors in sort of doing lay jobs there, lay work. And now we have Pastor Brunson. And again, to be clear, he's under house arrest still. But I'm sure they'll keep the pressure on until Turkey releases him completely. All right, our phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Let's go to Bob in Alabama. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Sandy. I certainly enjoy your program every morning, and I praise God for having you.
Thank you.
I'm just curious, why, with all the investigations about Russian involvement in our politics, it seems like nothing is done regarding George Soros, a Muslim Brotherhood. Is anything done there?
All I can say, Bob, look, because I know so many people that are all over those two issues, it's hard to distinguish sometimes what the government's actually doing. I would guess if you, in conjunction with the conversation I just had with the other caller about Attorney General Sessions, knowing him and knowing other people around him, that there may indeed be things going on there that we, again, just don't know about. There's been no announcement, but I honestly don't know, Bob. Certainly the Muslim Brotherhood's influence on this country is still a tremendous concern. You know, in Michigan right now, I think there are two. There's one candidate for governor, and there's another candidate for, I don't know, I can't recall. It's a congressional seat, I think, who have affiliations. And so it is a serious concern to all of us and needs to be brought to the forefront. I guess we just have to be patient. In the pecking order of problems, it's just one of many. You know, certainly the president has addressed the issue indirectly by trying to stop unvetted entries of Muslim persons into this country. So certainly the president is aware. And I don't, other than that, honestly, Bob, I can't be specific with you. Is there anything else that you wanted to add to that or some concern that you have?
No, I just want to hope that you just continue broadcasting because it's a lot of people that really enjoy you.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you. Thank you so much. That's very sweet. Thank you. Let's go to Bill in Texas. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning.
What's on your mind?
I think that Trump should fire Rosenstein and Mueller and clean all those snakes, that leftover snakes out of that from the Obama snakes, just like Bill Clinton did. He got rid of all the Republican attorneys. And I think he has the right, and he should exercise it, and we won't worry about Sessions and take the flack. He's stood up, and I appreciate AFR, how it stands up for truth, and there's so few voices of truth going on. The fake news is just appalling, you know, but Rosenstein and Mueller have beat this dead horse and trying to, they're wasting taxpayers' money, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, for sure. And I have wondered, too, Bill, there have been times when I think just fire them. On the other hand, the other way to look at this is certainly the truth is being revealed. And Mueller has discredited himself, not to CNN, but to most people in the country. It seems to me, looking at the polls, I think I heard last night that Trump's approval ratings don't remember the poll. It was like I heard it in passing, 48%, which is very high. So his approval ratings keep going up. And I think that's because the American people are actually paying attention. Some of them are. A lot of AFR talk listeners are certainly paying attention. And so some of that is, and if the president had fired Mueller right away, which, or at least sooner than this, it's probably true that the left really would have. They had rallies planned all over the country in a moment's notice. I saw their information to get people to rally and riot in cities all over the country and protesting, and that they can't do that now. And so there was some wisdom in not firing him. So it looks like all indications are to me that he's winding down. I just don't think there's anything left. I really don't. I think these tapes that they're talking about are, based on what I'm reading and hearing, are really nothing. The Cohen tapes I'm referring to. So I just think he's kind of at the end of his rope, and I think you'll be hearing him wind up pretty soon. And maybe this is the best way, even though it's cost us a ton of money. It's the best way probably for the president to avoid what the left does so very well, as you well know, and that's destroy conservative presidents. So, Bill, thanks. I appreciate your comments, and I understand what you're saying. Let's go to Shirley in Tennessee. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning. It's good to hear you this morning. Love your show always.
Thank you, Shirley.
I just wanted to say the New World Orders are just telling so many fibs in the media, the Chinese and Hollywood-owned syndicated news media, that they're turning people like me off. I'm African-American. I voted for Trump. I love Trump. And if he's listening, I hope he knows that I would want him to know that I support him and people like me support him out here. And if Hillary Clinton's listening, I hope she understands that she's lost because people like me failed to vote for her after she offered us death and more abortion. And so I don't care who Trump slept with 20 years ago. I don't care what foolish things may have been said 40 years ago. I'm just looking forward to voting him back in and a better House of Representatives, which hopefully will have Republicans that are Republicans this time, and Senate too. I'm looking forward to voting some out and putting some better people in.
Yeah, absolutely. Shirley, I was just reading an article this morning. Maxine Waters was at the first AME church in Los Angeles last Sunday. And so basically she said to the audience, don't worry about those who are threatening. Don't you worry about those who are talking about they're going to shoot. I know some of you got a little worried when I said to them, if you're going to shoot me, you better shoot straight. You've got to know that I'm here to do the work that I was sent to do. And as pastor said to me when I came in this morning, when God sends you to do something, you just do it. And then the pastor embraced her, and there was wild applause. You know as well as I do, Shirley, that in the black community, there is Whoopi Goldberg with Judge Jeanine. There's this impression that Donald Trump is such an enemy to the to Black Americans. When, ironically, you know, before he became president, he was the darling. He's received so many awards, had so many friends. I can't rattle them off, but, you know, in the Black community, certainly the entertainment industry, they loved him. What do you think? I mean, in your circles, do people agree with you? Are you going against the stream in Tennessee?
I'd have to say I may be against the stream somewhat. In the case of Maxine Waters, I hope they shoot straight. You know? I'm not a fan of Maxine Waters. I think that, you know, she's the devil as far as I'm concerned. And I, you know, this, the two ladies, I'm forgetting their names, but she kept accusing of taking money for their website, and they told her
Diamond and Silk? Diamond
yes.
and Silk?
I mean, those ladies just blew her out the water. She looked like a total moron. I'm not a fan of hers. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of African-Americans who haven't arrived yet. But as we keep speaking to them, I believe that they will eventually arrive. I hope it's before we elect somebody in, because a lot of people in general just aren't paying attention to the fact that there's a total group of people trying to take over our government, and they're crooked, and they're into child sex things. And you know, a lot of African-Americans supported Obama, and I couldn't stand Obama. He point-blank said he was for civil unions, and he was for abortion before he was ever voted in the first time, which I never voted for him. So, you know, a lot of people did, though, and they thought he would be some sort of savior, and now they're finding out. Even Farrakhan was smart enough to say that he was no savior. Obama actually didn't do anything for African-Americans while he was in office. So, yeah, they'll support Maxine Waters, those that will, because some people are stargazing and they feel like Whoopi is a star and they want to rub shoulders with her. But I really could care less about who's a star, because Christ is the biggest star. He's my king, and he's coming soon. And he told us to stand on his principles. Yeah. For all of us who really love the Lord, we're going to stand with Jesus.
And nothing to do with color. Him. Yesterday, I was in a cab yesterday with a Ugandan driver, and we were talking about family and stuff. And finally he said something about, I don't know what he said. And I said, you are a brother, aren't you? I said, you're my brother in Christ, aren't you? And he said, yes, ma'am, I am. I mean, and he goes rattling on, you know, and we had the best fellowship in the cab. It has nothing to do with color. Nothing to do with color. Right
it's
and wrong
all
have
nothing. About Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Shirley, thanks. I got to run here. I want to go to Vicki in Wyoming quickly. Vicki, what's up? Are you in Wyoming?
Yes, ma'am. I am. Good morning.
Good morning. You only have just a minute and a half, so just jump right in.
Okay. I just want to tell you that I listen to you almost every morning. I rarely listen to any other news source other than AFR and You in the Morning. And when you challenge us and you say, what are you doing in your community? I take that to heart. And I have taken on in the last couple of years the elected officials and the treatment of the public and really just digging into truth and honesty and fairness. And I've been attacked because of it. But I just want to tell you that you're changing your message. You being the messenger is changing the face of our state, particularly my community, because you're encouraging. And thank you for being an Ezekiel 33 watchman. I was told about that a few years ago, and I said, aha, that's what he's given me in my life. And you just really encouraged those of us, and I appreciate that, and thank you so much.
Vicki, that's really moving to me. Thank you. That's the best gift. You make me cry, honestly. Thank you. That's the best gift you could have given me. Thank you. All right, well, see. So, man, you know, when I met the people in Goochland, Virginia, and they're my friends. I hate Goochland buddies. They made me realize how you can turn around the place where you live, and it has an effect on the country. They're the ones that gave us Dave Bratt, and you've heard me talk about them before. And so to hear from Vicki in Wyoming, and I think the challenge is real for each of you. You can't take all of this on. You can't, but you can do something. You can do something. So my challenge to each of you today is to be a Vicki. And salt and light sometimes means, you know, not just being, you know, church, serving on a church board. It's getting outside the buildings and actually making a difference in your community. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.